Day two of New York Giants training camp is in the books. And of course, I'm going to give you guys the breakdown and the takeaways of New York Giants training camp practice number two, like I did for training camp practice number one yesterday. Now, the Giants are, of course, practicing in West Virginia, which means I'm not there on site. But of course, I've been following along very closely, as I always do, taking a look at the Giants.com practice reports, touchdowns, and takeaways, and also, of course, following along with what the beat reporters and what the fans as well are saying at Giants training camp. So we have a bunch of great takeaways to dive into. This was a practice that was largely won by the defense, according to all of those who were in attendance, but the offense had its moments too. Yesterday in training camp practice number one, the offense clearly won that one. Jackson Dart had a dominant day. He didn't have a single forced incompletion. The only incompletion he had yesterday was a dropped pass by Theo Johnson, and a little bit more on dropped passes by Theo Johnson in a bit here. But today, instead, it was the defense that seemed to get the better of Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, and the offensive units. The defense had a very active day. They forced a couple of turnovers. They had some sacks. All in all, Denard Wilson's unit seemed to get the better of Matt Nagy's unit today. But we did have a bunch of other takeaways to dive into other than just the defense plainly being good. I'm excited to discuss the defense, but also the takeaways on both sides of the ball as we get into Giants training camp practice number two recap and takeaways in today's episode of Fireside Giants, which is presented by Prize Picks. I'm Anthony Rivardo. Let's waste no more time and let's dive right in and let's start where we started yesterday, which is on the injury update for Malik Nabers. He's back, baby. Malik Nabers was back on the field today. There were some videos that were posted by SNY. He looks sharp, man. In this video, he was cutting, he was running, he was full speed, he was running a route, and he just looked really good. He looked a lot more fluid and a lot more explosive than I truly expected him to look at this point in his recovery process. So, and on top of that, the fact that he practiced in consecutive days to open up training camp is a big positive sign. Now, the expectation was that he wouldn't even practice for the first few practices of camp, right? It was a little bit of a surprise to see, hey, Malik Nabers, he's practicing for the Giants in day one of training camp. Well, then it was like, okay, let's see how his body responds and let's see if he goes back out there and practices a second day in the row. That doesn't seem completely likely, but he did, which means his body responded well. No soreness, no pain, no discomfort. It means his body responded very well to that first day of practice, to the point where the Giants felt totally comfortable putting him out there for day two of practice. Now, I will say he's not doing a full practice. If this was a game week and the Giants were putting a designation on his practice participation, he'd be a limited participant. He's not a full participant. He isn't doing everything. He's practicing probably a quarter of the time compared to everybody else. But even still, the fact that he's out there, the fact that he's running routes, the fact that he's sprinting, he's cutting, all of these are very positive signs for a young player who just turned 23, but is coming off of a torn ACL and torn meniscus and a second surgery that was required during the offseason to clean up scar tissue. So this was supposed to be a very long recovery. It still has been a very long recovery. There's still no guarantee he'll be ready for week one, but I have to tell you guys, the video that I saw today gave me a lot more optimism and a lot more confidence that he will indeed be out there on the field for the New York Giants in week one at MetLife Stadium versus the Dallas Cowboys. So, and just to round it out on Malik Nabers, final point here, he did speak to the media today, discussed many different things. Number one, he discussed Jackson Dart's leadership and, you know, how he's been very cool, calm, collected, and how he's really excited to get to play with him in year two of Jackson Dart's career. But also on the injury point, he said that there is no timetable. They're not going to put a specific date for a return for Malik Nabers, but they are continuing to just work through the process, taking it one day at a time, stacking good days on top of each other, and hopeful that he'll be ready soon. But he refused to put a date out there. He didn't say week one. He didn't say anything like that. Joe Shane also refused to put a date out there yesterday when he spoke to the media. So don't expect the Giants to give you a specific timeline of recovery. But as we go through this process of, you know, breaking down these daily training camp practices, if we continue to see Malik Nabers out there, no days off, no breaks, or at least minimal breaks, and if he continues to ramp up, like I said, he was limited today. If he's a full participant by next week, we know, okay, there's a really good shot that he's going to be out there for week one versus the Cowboys. So again, just very positive signs so far from Malik Nabers. Very happy about this. This offense is going to be completely different once Malik Nabers is back injected into it. And I'm really excited for that. But speaking of receivers, speaking of the look of this offense, let's go over another positive, which is actually going to be pointing to a WR2 suitor, potentially. We'll see who WR2 is when the Giants open up training camp in week one. Will it be Darius Slayton as it has been for the last couple of years, or will it be one of these other newly added receivers who are competing for that WR2 spot? Now, yesterday, Malachi Fields had a really solid practice. He made a big leaping, turning, twisting in the air back shoulder grab during Wednesday's practice. But today, Thursday, it was Darnell Mooney that had the big highlight out of the WR2 competitors. Jackson Dart rolled out, threw it on the run, and dropped a deep touch pass right in the bucket between a couple of defenders for Darnell Mooney to grab and score a big-time, deep, explosive touchdown. So Darnell Mooney, we heard his name kind of sparingly during the spring. During the spring, we heard a lot more about guys like Calvin Austin III and Malachi Fields. His name popped up quite a bit in the spring practices at minicamp and OTAs. But today, it was Darnell Mooney, had a deep connection with Jackson Dart for a long touchdown, according to Connor Hughes of SNY. So that's pretty exciting. But let's go over one of the negatives here, and this is going to stay on the offensive side of the ball, stay with the pass catchers, and that's going to be Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson had a drop in yesterday's practice that effectively killed a two-minute drill. So the situation was the Giants were running two-minute drills to close practice, and it was third and short. Theo Johnson ran a curl route. Jackson Dart hit him on that curl route. He dropped it. So as a result, it was fourth down. Giants had to settle for a field goal, which, yes, the kicker Ben Sauls did make. So the Giants offense won the two-minute drill. But still, you don't want to leave it up to the kicker kicking a long field goal. If it's third down, if the ball hits you in the hands, you got to convert for the first down, right? Obviously. So Theo Johnson dropping that pass yesterday, yes, that was concerning. But then it's more concerning because today he backed it up with, once again, having a drop mixed in. Now, Jackson Dart didn't have the best completion rate today. It's not like yesterday he went 10 of 11 with a drop. So really 11 of 11 hit the receiver's hands. No, it was a little bit different. He was probably closer to around 50, 60%. There were a lot of batted passes, it seemed like, and a lot of pass breakups today. Seemed, again, we'll get into it, but a good defensive practice. But again, Theo Johnson dropping a crucial pass, that is a pattern that we've seen stemming from, of course, last year. He had a drops problem. He also had a touchdown scoring kind of tendency. I will give him credit. I am a Theo Johnson fan. I'm not going to write the kid off just yet, even though he's had drop problems. Last year he had them. He still seems to have them. It does need to get corrected. It does need to get fixed. But I'm still not giving up on this kid. Big body, athletic. Great chemistry with Jackson Dart. Plus, the Giants are going to be running a lot of two tight end sets, and he's going to be the second tight end in those sets, right? He's not the starting number one tight end on this team anymore. That's Isaiah Likely. So he's no longer going to be a primary passing option on the majority of these plays. That's going to be Likely. But as that second option in this offense from the tight end spot, we do need Theo Johnson to be a little bit more reliable. Thankfully, Isaiah Likely doesn't drop the football. He's got like one drop in his NFL career. He's very sure-handed, but Theo Johnson needs to get on that wavelength. He needs to start to improve those hands and become a more sure-handed receiver. Otherwise, those two tight end sets, well, you never know. Maybe Thomas Fedoni starts getting those reps. Maybe Chris Manhertz starts getting those reps. I really need to see Theo Johnson become a more reliable receiving tight end for the New York Giants and stop dropping these passes. So again, that's one of the other takeaways. Now, to round out the offense before we flip over to the defensive side of the ball, I read a couple of reports, one from Art Stapleton, one from Connor Hughes of SNY, both of them praising the offensive line, saying that the offensive line has had a good start to training camp so far. Now, that might sound a little contradictory because when we do jump over to the defensive side of the ball, I am going to talk about a pass rusher and a couple of pass rushers who got home and made some plays today. But generally speaking, I've heard from the reporters that this has been a solid start to camp for the offensive line, regardless of the pass rushers getting home today. I read specifically that there were a lot of big holes opened up by the offensive line in the run game, and that the pass protection generally has been solid, even though there has been a few sacks mixed in there here or there. So take that what you will from it. Again, there are no pads on. The pads probably won't come on until next week, I think, is what I saw Art Stapleton report. The Giants are going to put the pads on next week. But this week, they're just getting into the flow of football. They're just getting their bodies acclimated and conditioned. So there are no pads on. So I will say, anything that you see about the offensive line right now, take it with a grain of salt. It's one thing for the offensive line to be opening holes in the run game right now. It's another for them to do it when the pads are on and the defensive tackles can actually fight back, right? So taking everything offensive line-wise with a grain of salt. But there are different things about the defense and the pass rushers that we're about to get into that I won't take with a grain of salt, and I will just be excited about plainly. So before I dive into all that, though, I do want to give a quick shout-out to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Prize Picks. If you guys haven't heard about Prize Picks yet, it's America's number one sports picks app. Super easy to use. All you do is pick more or less than a few of your favorite players' stats, and you lock in your lineup. It's that easy, very straightforward, and it's available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. And one of the coolest parts about Prize Picks, you can follow people on Prize Picks like you would any social media platform. You can follow me on the app at Anthony Rivardo to see all my lineups, entail my picks, see them before I even post them here in these episodes on the channel. So definitely follow me on Prize Picks. And like I've shown you guys before, but I'll show you again, there are a lot of great NFL season picks that you can take a look at right now. Like, you can even go combos, rushing plus receiving yards. Like, if you're really bullish on Ashton Jeanty and you're bullish on K9, Kenneth Walker in that new Chiefs offense, and you're bullish on Cam Scataboo in this new Giants offense, like, you could take them not just for rushing yards, but rushing and receiving yards. Now, that's a really high line for Cam Scataboo. I'm not going to lie to you. But I might take it anyway because I think he's going to get fed the rock this season. That's for sure. I know his rushing touchdowns line is 6+ rushing touchdowns. Yeah, but you can also adjust these, right? If you're feeling really confident in a player, you can move them up to demon mode, and you can make the total line higher. Obviously, you'll get better odds as well. Or you can make it, wow, even higher, 9.5. You think Scat's going for 10 rushing touchdowns? 12! Let's go for that. That'd be crazy. Or you can make them easier as well. You'll get a goblin, but the goblins, again, lower payouts, but still easier to hit. So that's just kind of how it works on Prize Picks. Not going to make a lineup because I've made way too many season-long lineups right now. I got to take a little bit of a break so that I don't, you know, run out of funding for these season-long ones since they won't pay out until the end of the year. But I am confident a lot of picks I made, and you guys can check them out if you follow me on Prize Picks at Anthony Rivardo. So definitely check out my picks. And if you are playing on Prize Picks, one second, let me actually pull this back up. Make sure to use code HMA and the link in the description. Play your first $5 and get $150 in lineups if you win. Prize Picks code HMA. Download the app. Good luck. Enjoy the games. Remember to always play responsibly. All right, so diving back in and jumping over to the defensive side of the ball, let's talk about Abdul Carter, who apparently had a big time day. He had a couple of sacks. Apparently he had two sacks. And he had maybe a half sack, I think, is what I read today. So he had 2.5 sacks in one practice. Plus, he was in the backfield a handful of other times for pressures. He was primarily working from the right edge rusher position from the perspective of the defense, which means he was lining up against the left tackle, Andrew Thomas. And apparently, him and Andrew Thomas were battling it out all day. Yes, Andrew Thomas, of course, won some reps, but Abdul Carter won a fair share of reps, got those sacks against Andrew Thomas, which is awesome. One thing that I've noticed personally about Abdul Carter, just observing here, the pictures I've seen of him, the videos I've seen of him, I actually went yesterday and I did a little bit of a comparison, looking at pictures of him from last year's camp to this year's camp. He looks slimmer. Now, I've seen people online say he looks like a receiver and he looks too thin. I don't agree. I don't think that's true. I think he still looks like a brick house, but he does look slimmer in some respects. And I actually think that might be a good thing in some respects because Abdul Carter plays with a lot of speed, a lot of bend, and maybe he didn't finish some of those reps last year. He had a bunch of pressures, but he didn't have a ton of sacks. Maybe he didn't finish some of those reps because maybe he needed to get a little slimmer. I don't know. But he does look like he's still super big and muscular, but he looks like he's more lean muscle than he is kind of like heavy, hulking muscle. Now we'll see how that pays off for him if it does. But again, the reason I bring that up is to say, I know I mentioned there's no pads on, but pads on, pads off doesn't matter if your speed and your explosiveness and your bend around the edge is just ridiculous. You're going to get home to the quarterback. And that's what's been happening with Abdul Carter. He's not winning with power. You can't win with powder. Power. And you can win with powder. Ask Lawrence Taylor. Come on. That was a good one, guys. That was a good one. He can't win with power in non-padded practices, but you can certainly win with speed and explosiveness, and that's what Abdul Carter is doing. Now, I remember last year at training camp when Carter was, of course, a rookie, I watched him in person, and I was just blown away by the speed and explosiveness that he had off of the line of scrimmage. I mean, he just fires out of his stance. I think we saw that plenty last year as well during the regular season. Can't wait to see more of it this season, but so far it is showing back up. Now, another pass rusher who had a big moment during today's practice was actually Kayvon Thibodeau, not Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau. had a big moment at today's practice. Now, let me just say this before I dive into the play that Kayvon Thibodeau made, which arguably was the play of the day based on what I saw. It is such a luxury for the New York Giants to have a player as talented as Kayvon Thibodeau as a backup, because he is a backup. We're going to talk about how he just made a play with the second string defense here against Jameis Winston, meaning he was with the second string defense. But just think about that for a second. A former number five overall pick who in 2023 had 11 and a half sacks, who last year graded out as a top 10 run defending edge rusher in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Yeah, he only played in 10 games. He got hurt. Injuries have certainly been an issue for Kayvon Thibodeau, so has consistency. But he's a talented football player. I think we can all agree. Like, he is good. Maybe he's not the elite game-breaking pass rusher that we wanted him to be when the Giants drafted him fifth overall in 2022, but he's definitely a good football player. And to have him be your number three edge rusher, to have him be a second-string player, is quite a luxury for the New York Giants, and it is pretty damn exciting. And it does remind me of the 2007-8 and 2011-12 Giants, where, yeah, they had, in 2011-12, they had Justin Tuck, they had Jason Pierre-Paul, but they still had Osiem and Euro. That third edge rusher can make all the difference. In 2007-8, they had, you know, Matthias Kiwanuka, Osiem and Euro, and Justin Tuck, and Michael Strahan, of course. So they've always been loaded. Those Giants Super Bowl teams have always been loaded with elite pass rushers. Now, I'm not saying that all of these guys are elite just yet. I think you can pretty comfortably say that Brian Burns, coming off a 16 and a half sack year, second team All-Pro, he's an elite pass rusher. He's an elite edge rusher. I think Abdul Carter has the potential to be. I think Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't think I'd call him elite, but I would call him good. I think Arvell Reese mixes in there as that fourth guy who can be your hybrid linebacker slash pass rusher. He certainly has elite potential as well. So I just love the potential of this defensive line. I love reading the things that I've been reading so far about it. With Kayvon, I didn't even get into the big play that he had, but just kind of just generally speaking here, all these pass rushers, I feel like every practice that we've discussed so far this offseason, whether we're talking spring practices, mini camp and OTAs, whether we're talking the last two practices to start training camp, I feel like we are just constantly talking about these pass rushers and how they're making the impact that we expect them to make. And that's a good and encouraging sign. So hopefully this Giants defense is good, and hopefully Kayvon Thibodeau makes more plays like the one he did today, which I will now finally describe after my filibuster. Today, with the second string defense, Kayvon Thibodeau had a pick six. Yeah, not a sack. He had an interception. He tipped a pass up from Jameis Winston, and then he caught it, and then he took it all the way back for a touchdown. So pretty cool stuff. Athletic stuff for sure. We've seen Kayvon Thibodeau score a touchdown before. If you remember his strip sack versus the Washington Commanders a few years ago, he definitely has that propensity to turn it on in big moments. And also he does have a propensity for splash plays, I would say. Kayvon Thibodeau does. And it showed up once again today with an interception that he created himself with the tipped pass, caught it himself, and then took it home for the pick six. So shout out to Kayvon Thibodeau. Awesome play there. And I think those are the majority of the takeaways that I did have for today. I'm going to scroll through and see what else I had. Abdul, Neighbors, we talked about that. Yeah, a bunch of pressures, some forced turnovers. I think Jackson Dart had an interception as well today. I don't remember who caught it. Darnell Mooney, Theo Johnson, offensive line. So that's pretty much going to wrap up everything that I saw from the reporters about today's practice. The Giants have been very slow this offseason with the posting of the practice reports. So it's not up yet today, but it will be up soon. And I will be back talking Giants in just a couple of hours here, as I'll be on the Giants Collective show. So if you are tuning into this and you want more Giants analysis on day two of training camp with the practice reports, of course, included into that, because they should be up by then, hopefully, you can check out Giants Collective, which is, of course, hosted by yours truly, as well as Bad Dog. He's our main host, The Entertainer, and Adriana. So definitely check us out. Hear us talk some more New York Giants over on the Giants Collective show. And definitely make sure, if you are new here, to subscribe to the channel for daily Giants training camp practice reports and updates. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to be, of course, discussing Giants training camp. And then I'm just throwing this out there for fun. I cannot wait to see Spider-Man tomorrow, guys. I've got my tickets tomorrow night. All my friends have already seen it. Some of them saw it yesterday. Some of them saw it today. Everybody's just telling me, man, it's amazing. You're going to love it. I've had my tickets for weeks, but I got them on Friday night, and I just can't wait. As you guys know, I'm a big Spider-Man fan. I tilted to the wrong side. Hold on. There we go. Spider-Man's there. I've got Miles Morales Spider-Man there, and I've got Peter Parker Spider-Man there. Can't wait for it, guys. So definitely spoiler-free. Drop your thoughts, your reviews on Spider-Man down below in the comment section. I'm definitely excited to have some discourse and some conversations about Spider-Man with you guys in the comment section down below. So not Giants-related, but it's Big Apple-related. It's New York-related. So just having fun here. Guys, let me hear your thoughts on Spider-Man, but definitely do not drop any spoilers because you will send me into a deep, dark depression. But anyway, guys, do appreciate all of you who tuned in to today's episode. Very excited. Giants training camp and practice is back. 2 weeks from now, we will be talking about Giants preseason, so I can't wait for that. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to be doing these daily breakdowns, as I mentioned before. So subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss any of those daily breakdowns. Definitely follow us on social media at @Anthony_Rivardo and @FiresideGiants on both Instagram and Twitter. And I will catch you all in the next one. Yeah, have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.